Hey, thank you. All right, so last Sabbath, we concluded chapter 12 of the book of Acts, which was an interesting read as we read. Chapter 12 showed us how, unless the Spirit intervenes and give us clarity, we can sometimes be disconnected with each other. We could even be disconnected with what Elohim is doing unless he specifically unites our hearts to understand. Even when he does something, as we saw, Peter was cast into prison and the congregation was praying for him. Peter was set free. Peter did not even fully realize he was set free until the angel left him. We saw how the congregation, as they were praying earnestly in one place, when Peter stood in front of the knocking at the door, they struggled to believe Peter was there. So there can be disconnect. So this is why we need to be very careful in how we deal with each other, and to be very patient and long-suffering and bear with one another in understanding. And when I say that, of course, that's with understanding of the basics, the love of Elohim, the love of fellow man, especially fellow believers. There are groups that call themselves believers and call upon the name blasphemously because they are living in outright sin and they promote sin. I'm not speaking about that, but I'm speaking about people who generally love Elohim but may have misunderstandings about things. And we can tell when there are misunderstandings. There's always a spirit of humility about it. When people are humble about what they believe, being respectful and understanding that just as Elohim loves them, Elohim also loves the brother or sister who disagrees with them. If we could remember that, it will help us stay united. Remember, the brother or sister that we may disagree with, Elohim loves him or her just as you, but yet he has not allowed in some things for us to have a unity of understanding yet. But through the scriptures, we see that the statement, until Messiah be formed in us, it's the word is until. So it's a process. So we see here that this congregation needed to go through that process. Even Peter has been preaching for some time now, but there was still a lot he learned in a short time, right? So, and then of course we saw with the persecution, Peter was in prison because, why? Because Herod had a proud mind and wanted to please the people to solidify his position in their sight. So he had James or Jacob, the brother of John, murdered, executed. And then he sought to do the same thing to Peter, and hence this is why Peter was set free. But then, as we saw last Sabbath, Elohim avenges his own, for he sets the wicked in slippery places. Oh, does he? And so here, towards the end of the chapter, from verses 20 to 23, we see how Elohim erased, put Herod to death. He put him to death. And then later on, we see how, although when Herod was stopped, put to death by the hand of the angel of the eternal, that the gospel, that the word of Elohim continued to grow and multiply. Remember, it has grown multiple folds. We heard thousands upon thousands coming to faith, but it's still growing. It grew and multiplied still in verse 24 of chapter 12. And then we saw how Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem. And when they had fulfilled their ministry, they took John, whose surname was Mark. And as we commented last Sabbath on this, where we ended, Barnabas was sent to a mission to work, to do his ministry up no further than Antioch. He was supposed to stop by the time he finished his ministry in Antioch. But on the way, he went and found Paul. And then here, they went and got John, whose other name is Mark. So one went, left Jerusalem for a mission, that is Barnabas, but three returned to Jerusalem. I'm sorry, Barnabas, Paul, and John. And as I said yesterday, we need to do that work. We just celebrated Pentecost, and some people will be celebrating Pentecost tomorrow. Why? Because we have different opinions, different understandings about these things. But again, if we stay humble and be true to the fact that we're just doing what the best we can in some things and don't fully understand everything, and this is why we have these differences of opinion. Those that are observing Pentecost tomorrow had intercalated in the calendar. That's why. Intercalated mean they added an additional week to keep it completely, quote unquote, in sync with the season. However, some of us, like myself and others, we did not intercalate. We did not add an additional week. And so we observed Pentecost last Sunday, while others will start it tomorrow. Some have started it weeks before. So this is why we need to understand. Why am I saying connect with what we read, how the disciples were praying and they did not understand what was going on. Why did Elohim show us this? All these things were written so that we can understand how to operate. When we see we don't understand what another brother or sister is doing, and I say a brother or sister in category that you know they love Elohim, you know they love, that's what I mean by a brother or sister, not someone who's saying, quote unquote, Lord, Lord. That's not what I'm saying. Not a disobedient person living in sin. No, a person who has repented of their sins, that you know loves Elohim, loves his people, yet has a different perspective. When you see that happens, be patient. And rather, when you see that happen, rather than go away from each other, grab on to each other that much more tightly and wait on Elohim to unite our hearts. That's what we have. Let's not function the world. When the world disagrees, it splits. But we ought not to be like that. When you see love, that is from, love is from Elohim, you grab onto those sources of love and don't let them go. That's what, and then you will see, then Elohim will help us to see clearly, as was seen here. Then you will see his purpose fulfill, as was seen here. Paul was sent away a few chapters away, but now he is brought back. John, Mark was away, but now he is brought back. The three of them return. Unity and purpose happen. Now let's go to chapter 13 to see what's going to happen next. I'm going to try to do chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. I'll read that much and hopefully we can discuss it. There's some powerful, important things there, as always. So Acts chapter 13. Again, this is Brother Jackson. Happy Sabbath to those of you who are on. So now there were in the congregation that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, as they ministered to the sovereign and fasted, the Holy Spirit, the set apart Spirit, said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Verse 4. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, departed from Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of Elohim in the synagogues of the Yehudim, of the Jews. And they had also John to minister. Verse 6. And when they had gone through the isles unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Yehudi whose name was Bar Yeshua, or son of Yeshua. That was the name. It was a false prophet, Bar Yeshua. He called himself that. Verse 7. Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of Elohim. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, set his eyes on him and said, "O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to pervert the right ways of the Eternal? And now behold, the hand of the Eternal is upon you, and you shall be blind not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. And the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the eternal, of the sovereign. And to end with verse 13, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returned to Jerusalem. A lot of powerful things going on here. So let's go back to verse 1. So verse 13 tells us, gives us the background information. They're in Antioch and tells us there were certain prophets and teachers. They're not all the same. There are prophets and teachers. You could look this up in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to see the various gifts or offices of the believers. So there were prophets. Prophets are those who receive specific direct instruction from Elohim to transfer, to give to the congregation, the prophets. Teachers are those who are transferring knowledge by what they have learned, mostly through study, studying of the scripture, studying of nature, studying the works of Elohim's hands, the word by the gift of knowledge, and so on. There are many ways, but their specific thing is teaching, and they have the gift for it. They know how. It's not, they don't just know information, they know how to teach. Many times people can know something and not know how to teach it. But these have that special gift of, they know how to teach. They know how to reach different people, how to make different people understand what it is they are trying, what information Elohim wants them to know. So they were the prophets and the teachers. And we have a few of them, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, or black. That's what that literally means when I looked at the word. So Simeon, that was called Niger. And Lucius of Cyrene, and Mananen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Why do we have this information? My daughter decided, Cherie decided to play a song we wanted to play last Sabbath, of all nations, of all people, right? And Brother Felix, after hearing that song, he commented on that. That's why that's there. You understand? Elohim is showing us the different people whom he has united from different backgrounds. It's not a matter of one group, one ethnicity anymore. When Pentecost occurred with Moses on the mountain so many years before this, and the Torah, the instruction was given on Mount Sinai when Elohim came down, and they heard the voices, they heard him speak. Do you think they only heard Hebrew? No, they did not only hear Hebrew. Remember, there were multitudes of people from different lands there that came out of Egypt. And that's why even among the traditions understood that when Elohim spoke, he spoke in the hearing of all the different languages. So all the people could understand who was part of that covenant or would be part of that would understand. All these people, but it was one nation still. It was a lot of different people, but forming one nation in one location. But in the new covenant, it's not about one nation in one location, but it's about forming one people in different locations, in different nations, but one people still. One people for Elohim and Messiah by the Spirit. So here, we see that Antioch, they were in Antioch, and their teachers were Barnabas. We had people of different colors, people from different backgrounds. Lucius, a Cyrenian. Mananian, he was brought up in the house of Herod. Herod, who we just read about, right? Herod the Tetrarch, who just died. And of course, Saul, who Paul was a Roman citizen. So they were different backgrounds, but they were not concerned about their diversity. Today, there's this divisive thing today that's going on. I remember when I worked in corporate America, I'm still working, but I work in schools. But when I worked in the largest bank, at least in the United States, in New York, some years ago, I saw this whole thing about diversity being introduced. And it seems like at first it was being introduced as We're different, but we can come together as one. It seems like that's how they were promoting it, but then it obviously was not. Then it became this thing where, whether they were doing it intentionally or not, it's being used to divide people, where people are now told to embrace their diversity in such a way to keep themselves different. And look at what's happening. So we have a nation now that's more divided ever than ever before. Because if we focus on our differences, we will never unite. Because they've made the error, willingly or unwillingly, to focus on our differences, not understanding different. What's different will never unite. What's different unites only when the focus is on what's common, what we have in common. But now that's not what's being promoted. Just look around you. People are encouraged to be in different communities. That's being used divisively. Oh, you're from that community, or the people of my community. Not so in Elohim. In Elohim, we have one people. That's the people or the congregation or the kahal or the ecclesia, theo, however you want to say it. But it's the people of Elohim that our Messiah Yeshua said, I will build. That I am building. When we identify ourselves, we should not be identifying ourselves on based on flesh. If we love, if we're the people of Elohim, we identify as such. We're the people of Elohim. Has nothing to do with the color of our skin, the language we speak, the family background. No, it has nothing to do. It has everything to do with our unity and growth in Messiah. Our growing into his likeness to become like him. Let's move on. So these people with that mindset, as they were what? They were, verse 2 said, as they ministered to the eternal and fasted. How do they minister to the eternal? In serving the brethren, whether by healings, teachings, bringing food, making sure all these things were happening, that the body of Messiah is being fed spiritually and physically. That's how they were doing. And they were fasting. And while they were fasting, they'll set apart the Holy Spirit. The Ruach HaKodesh said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Quickly. So you could see here how it's important for us to fast. I'm not going to go on, but it's important to fast. You need to fast. We need to fast. I need to fast. We need to fast together. We need to learn to be an organization. As I started to show on Pentecost, we need to understand that the congregation of Elohim is not a set of people that are divided and separated, ragtag loners. We have to stick with what Yeshua says. He says, I am building. He's not building something divided, something where the people don't know each other. We have to know each other. Being united doesn't necessarily mean we're able to come under one roof. But we should have one purpose. We should have one work towards having one teaching. We should work together. Whether we're in one state or another, we should strive to do the same thing. Strive to do it together, because that has a big effect. Because when we do things together, the effect is greater. You know, if one person touches, let's say, a lake, there might be a little ripple. But if two people touch the lake at the same time, a greater ripple. But if everyone touches the lake at the same time, the ripple is all over. Why? Because it's being done at the same time. But if all the same people do it one at a time at different days, it doesn't have the same effect. That's why it's so important for us to do things in at the same time and work together to be an organization, not of men, but an organization of Messiah, of Yeshua. We've been together like this for what? Over 2 years. Which one of us claims to be a leader? None of us. None of us. But yet we've been functioning, and it's showing you that's an example that it can. And we hardly see each other face to face. So it can be done. We don't need to follow what the world is doing, where they put a trained man or person who just went to school to minister, and they call themselves a minister. No, we don't need to do that. We have Messiah as the minister, and he calls people. He said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work when I have called them. So who calls people to work? Is it the seminary? No. Is it a church? Is it a quote-unquote man-made quote-unquote church? No. It's Elohim. It's the spirit of Elohim that separate calls people. And that's how you know in you are being a true congregation of Elohim. We're not being a true congregation of just being here together and using the word congregation of Elohim. We're the congregation of Elohim when the Spirit of Elohim is truly leading us. When the work of the Spirit is truly being seen in us. When the love of Elohim is manifest in us. When we pray and things happen. Okay? We need to hang on to each other for those things to happen. Now notice, who called Paul and Barnabas? It says, and the Holy Spirit, the set apart Spirit said. Some people dishonor the Spirit unintentionally because of how they've been taught. And this is why I tell people, when it comes to the faith, forget about it. When Elohim draws you out of something, there's a reason. It is because there are some things you need to break away from. The Spirit of Elohim is not just a force. Okay, I used to be a part of an organization where they said the Spirit of Elohim is just a power, is just. No, the Spirit of Elohim is the Spirit of Elohim. The Elohim is the Father. Elohim, before he created, and it still is infinite in magnitude. He manifests. He willed to be the first form. He became the Father because through that same image, he intended to create his children. So he brought forth his word. He sent forth his word. He sent forth his Spirit. The word and the Spirit, or the Son and the Spirit, the Logos, are his, what's called his everlasting arms in the scriptures. And through his everlasting arms, the word and the Spirit, he created all things and sustains all things. The Spirit is Elohim, is from Elohim. The Spirit speaks, the Spirit thinks, the Spirit is the mind of Elohim. It's not just a power. This is not Trinitarianism as taught today. It's not. Don't dismiss the truth because of the misuse of truth. Some people have misused truth, and Satan is clever. He'll take the truth, twist it, and then make people turn away from it. There is a Father, there is a Son, there is a Holy Spirit, okay? There is no God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, as people say, as three different gods. I use that word God on purpose. But Elohim has his Son. Elohim sends forth his Spirit. And they are one. Okay? So you don't want to use the word Trinity because the word has been polluted. Okay? But when the word Trinity was first used, it was used by a noble teacher by the name of Tertullian. And what he meant by Trinity was this. It was a term he invented or coined that meant there was one Father. This is what he says, one Elohim the Father and his Son and his Spirit. And he called that a Trinity. He was not teaching there were three gods in one. The word Trinity has been polluted today. I don't use it. But still, we need to know and be careful about things. There's a lot of things, just like you see the very Bible we read. The false teachers do what? They change what the Bible says, right? How much more they also change what the bishops taught. And if you don't read what the bishops, the early bishops taught themselves, you'll believe them. Like they take the teachings of the bishops about the Sabbath and say the bishops taught that the Sabbath should not be kept. Not the first, but that's not true. The first century bishops taught that, why do you ask us about Sabbath? We live holy lives all the time. We obey the commandments of Elohim. We obey not just physically, but spiritually. So what there was, yes, they keep the Sabbath, but they keep it in their hearts and in their minds too. They did not set one day apart to be righteous like so many others. They sinned for 6 days and try to be righteous the seventh day. They said, no, we live holy lives every day, but we keep the commandments of Elohim, and they speak of the seventh day Sabbath. They kept the Sabbath, but just at a higher level than prior to what others did. And their teaching was in keeping with what Messiah said. He says, it's not just a matter of not committing adultery physically. You should not commit it in your mind, in your heart. It's not just about committing murder physically. You should not think of it. So in Sabbath keeping, we should not be thinking about, oh, when will the sun set so I could do X, Y, and Z. You understand? So that's how they taught. And it was perfect, wonderful teaching. But the churches of today perverted their teachings to try to make people think that the first century churches were not keeping the Sabbath and replaced it with Sunday. That's not true. That's not true. Sunday had its place, just as Sunday had its place. The first day of the week had its place in the scriptures. Pentecost is always on the first day of the week. First fruits is always on the first, and other things are always on the first day of the week. It has its place. But the congregation, the ancient bishops, never taught that the seventh-day Sabbath was replaced by the first day of the week. So anyway, back to this. You see, the spirit of Elohim is who decided and said, separate for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work that I have called them. Who said it? The Holy Spirit. And remember, in the creation, it says, and the spirit of Elohim hovered over the waters, over the deep. So from the very beginning, you saw the spirit there being involved in the creation. And the psalmist says it. He spoke and it was. And he sent forth his spirit. So do not exclude the Holy Spirit in your expressions, especially in your prayers. That's why it says you shall be baptized in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit. This is not a Trinitarian thing. Don't let Satan deceive us, brethren, because the deceiver is crafty. He will take the truth, taint it, and then make you turn away from it to make you think it's error. Just like he taught, he tricked Eve. Oh, that's not going to happen. That's not true. He perverted the words of Elohim and so deceived Eve. Let's not fall into this. Let's not be self-zealous. That's what's going on a lot today. A lot of people have self-zeal rather than zeal for Elohim. They will run after zealously what they love, what's in their minds and their hearts, rather than what's in the mind and heart of Elohim. Let's put on the mind and heart of Messiah, not our own hearts. Let's go back to the text. So when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So now let's look at if there's a line of authority here. Who are these? We read, there was Barnabas, there was Simeon, there was Mananan. As they fasted, they ministered to the sovereign and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. So Barnabas and Saul. So who laid hands on them then? Who laid hands on them? It would have been Simeon and Mananan. So Simeon and Mananan laid hands on who? On Barnabas and Paul. What do we see happening in our so-called churches today, congregations today, Kahal Elohim today? It's always one man. It's always the pastor who lays hands. But here we are. We see Barnabas and Saul, who came before these people, who ministered to these people, have them putting their hands, have the people they ministered to putting their hands on them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, that's that spirit of humility and oneness. I'm struggling so much to communicate to the people, not to put our hearts in the sense of men, where we have a cult of personality. Oh, well, you can't do that. It's the pastor over there. You know, he's the one with the degrees. Oh, I don't know what the Bible says, but, you know, the pastor said. Oh, my goodness, no. It's what the Spirit said. The Spirit could say something through a child. That's part of his congregation. The Spirit can say something to an elderly person, through a woman, through a man, through whomever he wills, through all who love him. And this is why sometimes I encourage you so much to speak up. You'll be surprised when you set your mind to, you may not know what to say, but when you decide to speak up out of the love of Elohim, out of the love for Messiah, you may just, I'm going to say, hello, dear brothers and sisters. That means so much. Once it's done out of love and for the hope of encouragement. And from you saying hello, Elohim could put so much more in your mind, but you have to be willing. You have to be willing to say, Elohim, help me to be helpful today. Let's move on. I want to try to finish. So you see how, what the point I'm trying to make here, that Paul and Barnabas were the ones who ministered to these people, who helped bring them into the faith. But yet, it was the others, Simeon and Mananan, who laid hands on them and sent them their way. So this whole structure of the church we have today, the way it's organized, is wrong. And this is why the so-called churches are so powerless, because they have a form of Elohim likeness or quote-unquote godliness, but deny the power there. What's the power? The Holy Spirit is the power. It's not who went to school. It's not who went to the seminary. Oh my goodness, this mess we have today are especially from those who learned in school, who went to the seminary, or those who are spending hours upon hours looking into books and texts and things. There's a place for everything.
But all of these things have to be subject to the Holy Spirit of Elohim. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Spirit, departed unto Lucia. That's verse 4. So what's the work? Did they go to build buildings? Did they go to build hospitals? Did they go to build schools? No. The work of the congregation of Elohim is to preach the word of Elohim in context of the people you're in. When you're among seasoned Israelites, seasoned Jews, you don't need to teach them about the law unless they don't know, but you just need to teach them that Messiah had come, okay? Same thing with the Samaritans. So you don't teach them what they already know. You may use it as background to propel the gospel, but when you're among people who worship idols, oh my goodness, you have to teach everything, everything, almost. But that's why we need the Spirit to guide us. But the work of the congregation of Elohim, the work of it is to not build schools and hospitals and all of these things. It is to preach the word of Elohim, the word that transforms lives, the word that transforms the soul, the word that transforms, that unites the soul with the Spirit of Elohim, the word that heals in so many ways, that casts out demons. That's our job. And we need to believe in it. Many people don't do it because they really don't believe it. They don't believe the power of the gospel. They don't believe that it's going to change lives. They really don't. That's why they focus on other things. These religious organizations think it's more important to build a hospital than to preach the word. And all this money they're pouring in instead of feeding the poor with it. There's nothing wrong with building hospitals as your personal vocation. Don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong with being a doctor. I'm a teacher, but that's not my ministry. I'm a teacher just to earn a living and yes, to hopefully influence children positively and even my fellow teachers, educators. But at the same time, my main job as a believer is to proclaim the gospel. If for all who are in Messiah's hands, who belong to him, that's their main job. And we need to come to know that. I didn't fully realize it, but you're hearing it. Think about that. What is your main job? What does the scripture show? So they went and preached the word of Elohim in the synagogues of the Jews. Now, didn't we read somewhere that they said, oh, we will go and preach to the nations? So what some false ministers do, they twist that out of context to say, see, now they've abandoned the Jews and now they're going to go only to the Gentiles. No, it's contextually. It's context of location. Wherever the apostles went, they always went to the Jews first, then to the Gentiles. Always. They never abandon the people of Israel, but they will abandon whoever rejects the word of Elohim. So if they go one place, they'll go to one place and they'll go to a synagogue. And if whoever receives the word, Jew and Gentile, become a part of that congregation. But when the Jews, and they never reject the Jews themselves, but the Jews, you will always say reject them. Then they're separated from those Jews who blaspheme. But when it says we go to the Gentiles, it's not saying we're not going to go to any other Jew. No, it's that particular group of people. Remember what Messiah said while in Israel? He said to them, go and send them your peace, shalom. If they accept your peace, go and stay with them. If they reject your peace, shake the dust of your sandals to them as a testimony against them. Have nothing to do with them, even in the very land of Israel. So it's not a matter of rejecting Jewish people, but rejecting anyone, Jew or Gentile, who rejects Messiah, who rejects the word. And in context of that location, hope that's clear. So they went there. And they had also John to their minister. So John was assisting also. So I'm going to stop here and we will continue with verse 6 and hopefully we'll finish through 13 next Sabbath. Okay, I want to allow enough time for others. Thank you very much for listening.